midst of all pain and sorrow and wickedness in the world, continually praising God and living by another story than the world lives by. Remember that? It's okay if you don't. You can just say yeah and confess it later. Yeah, no. I wanted to start where we left off last week because I think that this is something that the Lord would like us to keep in the forefront of our minds as we navigate life here on out. That He has called us to live by another story than the world lives by. Right now, in the world, I don't know, maybe you're feeling some of these things, but there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of uncertainty, there's a ton of division. You look around in local communities, there's division in friendship, there's division in families. That's been happening for a long time, but it's only been exacerbated by the things that have happened in the last, you know, year. And there's lots of jokes going around about how we've already had enough of 2021. But God works in the midst of adversity. I'm telling you, this is an exciting time to be a Christian because the Lord will turn stuff around and use it. I was speaking with a friend on the phone, you know, who's of one political persuasion, and he was describing to me how this week he had talked with some other friends. He's like, friends that I've had for 20 years now, I said to them, if you believe this, you're dead to me. Line in the sand, drawn, division. It's not God's way. If you look in the comments section of news articles, there's just hatred everywhere. Coming from, quote unquote, both sides, or however you want to describe it, it's everywhere. There's lines being drawn in the sand, and in the midst of all this, we are called to love others and to trust God. We all have our own opinions about what's happened. We all have our own political persuasions. But we are followers of Jesus Christ in the midst of all of this, and we are called to love others and trust God. How do we live? How do we decide which side is right and fly that flag, or do we draw lines in the sand and defend one side or the other and label people as good or bad depending on what they think? Every human being is made in the image of Almighty God and is an image bearer of God, regardless of what they think or how they vote or any of this stuff. Christ died for you as much as He died for the next person. People's worth is not based on their understanding of the current political or social situation, which, by the way, is not eternal. It will pass away, but the Lord's kingdom will never pass away. People's worth is based on the fact that they are made in that image of God and that He did die for them. So rather than tear down others, regardless of our politics or theirs, Scripture tells us that we need to lift Jesus up. If Jesus is lifted up, He will draw all people to Himself. It cuts through all of the vitriol, all of the division, all of the lines in the sand, all this garbage that's out there, right, wrong, upside down, left, right, and whatever it is. If we will lift up Christ, He will be exalted, and people will be reminded that Jesus is King. You know, for a long time, there's actually books written about this. The church tried to be incognito with the culture, right? We tried to play it cool. We tried to look like the culture with a little twist of Jesus in there. Didn't work very well. Maybe there's some fruit from it here and there. I don't know. But where do people get the gospel? How is playing it cool and trying to slide into the culture done anything good? It is long overdue and high time that the church become more serious about their relationship with Christ, in their fluency in His word, and their trust in His power and His greatness. We can't can't afford to walk that line anymore. The road is diverging and you can't do this much longer. Right? It is past time for the church to be standing in stark contrast to what we see in our nation and the world. And if we will have the courage to stand, we will see and be a part of repentance and revival. It will be amazing and it will be powerful. There's a lot happening right now. We are called in Scripture to pray for our leaders and for our nation and for our community. But we have also just got to recognize that this is not our final destination. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are citizens of another kingdom, another country. And that doesn't mean we don't love our country, we don't pray for our leaders, we don't live and function here. It just means that we remember that, nowhere in Scripture does it say that Jesus comes and sets up his rule and reign in the United States. Right? He's a heavenly kingdom and he is coming here to set up a new creation, a new heaven, and a new earth. All this old stuff is going to pass away. And we love and we pray for and we care for those around us while we remember that one day we are going to stand in his presence and sing the words of that song that we sang today. Blessing and honor and glory and power and might and strength belong to the Lamb. Psalm 46 has been speaking to me this week. I shared a little of it in Conflict. I'm going to share a little of it today, too. And I'd like to just submit it to you. If you find yourself in a place of feeling overwhelmed and seeing this tidal wave of stuff coming over you, it helps to speak the promises of God into the situations in our lives, because they aren't just words. They are holy words that have been written down as people were moved by the Holy Spirit. They're not just nice words. They're anointed, they're powerful, and when they go out, they always come back with fruit. So Psalm 46, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be moved, and though the hills be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters rage and swell, and though the mountains shake at its tempest. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, therefore she shall not be moved. God shall help her at the break of day. The nations are in an uproar, and the kingdoms are moved. But God has lifted his voice, and the earth shall melt away. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. O come and behold the works of the Lord, what devastations he has brought upon the earth. He makes wars to cease in all the world. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire. Be still then and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. And I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Promises of God in the midst of a challenging time. When you find yourself getting sucked into Fox News or CNN or whatever news outlet it is that you watch and you start to feel overwhelmed, remember, be still and know that I am God. Pull out Psalm 46. Open up your Bible. Read it again. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. If we actually believe that, we wouldn't be afraid. The Lord of hosts is with us. What more do we need? The Lord is a rock and a foundation in a time when stuff seems to be crumbling. And if we will believe that God's got this, because he does, we can be still and know, not only here, but here, that he is God. It is comforting to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, especially in times like this. I can't imagine trying to walk life out right now without the knowledge that this is all going to pass away and that King Jesus is still on the throne. For a lot of folks who do not believe that God exists, the government can become their God and politics can become their religion. So when all this stuff gets shaken, their very foundation is shaken because they've built on something that is not going to stand. But the Lord is eternal and he will never pass away. If we will learn to trust and lean on things that are eternal, we will be able to pass through these waters. We may not know what is ahead, but God does, and we can trust in his eternal goodness. I just want to repeat this quote from Leslie Newbegin again. He says, "We are called to be a community of people in the midst of all pain and sorrow and wickedness in the world, continually praising God, living by another story than the world lives." So how do you actually do that, right? Do we do it because we believe it's a good idea and we want to? Jesus knew that we would not be able to do what we were called to do by ourselves and without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I want to look at the epistle lesson with you briefly. If you want to pull out your scriptures, that would be great. I think I left mine over here. Can I borrow one of yours? Oh, good. Appreciate that. So check out this lesson in Acts chapter 19, okay? While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, and he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we have not even heard there is a Holy Spirit." Then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who is to come after him, that is Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. So Paul finds some disciples, right? He's going through Ephesus. Ephesus is about 800 miles from Rome and about 600 miles from Jerusalem, just to give you an idea where this is located. It was a pretty long way in those days, okay? And he finds that there are disciples. They heard the word. They heard about the baptism of repentance, John, but they hadn't heard about the rest of it yet, right? They were living in a pagan culture. They were probably trying to be followers of the way. They were probably trying to live the right way. They were trying to do the right thing. They believed that they had probably grabbed onto some truth and knew that it was right, but were really struggling to live it. They were not baptized yet. They had not received the Holy Spirit yet. They wanted to, they agreed, but they couldn't live into the fullness of the Christian life and be as effective until they had received the Holy Spirit. No power. It says in Scripture they hadn't even heard of it, right? The key element was the living presence of God in the life of the believer. Paul's first question to these disciples is not, "How were you baptized?" Although he does get around to that. His first question is whether they have received the Holy Spirit. Do they live their lives aware of, open to, and filled with, and guided by the Spirit of God? That is the key question of the passage here, and it is a question that is really worth directing to ourselves and our own communities of faith. Does this sound like the church of today at all? Does it sound like we're trying to follow something we believe is right? We believe the Bible is the Word of God. We believe that this is the truth of the gospel, and we want to live it out and walk it out, and we're really enthusiastic about it, maybe, but we lack some power to carry it out in the way that God wants us to. Does this sound like ourselves in our own lives? Trying to walk it out, but in our own strength, with our own understanding. Regardless of how or where we were baptized, the question is, how is your life in the Spirit now? How are you living out your baptism now? Are you living by another story than the world lives by? One transformed life leads to the transformation of other lives, which leads to the transformation of communities. And they're all centered around the question that Paul asks, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? And how are you continuing to live in the power of the Holy Spirit today? Have you been baptized? Maybe some of you remember your baptism. Maybe some of you don't. Maybe people here have never been baptized. I don't know. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? How are you continuing to live in the power of the Spirit today? Things to ask ourselves, and not just rhetorically. Are you fearful? Are you tired? Are you beaten down? Are your eyes and your heart distracted? Do you have a sense that you're trying hard to follow God in these times, but don't have the power to do so? Is the Holy Spirit calling you and drawing you? Jesus still is King. The Holy Spirit is still freely given to all who ask. If the Lord is speaking to you, it will be a good idea to respond. There have been times in my life where I have known the Lord was speaking to me and I ignored it because I was either afraid, or I was afraid of what people would think of me, or I was afraid of surrendering my life to God would lead to my loss of control or something like that. It is a blessed loss of control to lose your own control in many respects to the will of the Lord and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It's nothing to be afraid of. And so, as we look at this idea of living our lives by a different story than the way that the world lives, we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. It will not be possible. The Lord knew this. This is why he told the disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait for power from on high. They didn't just sit around and wait and twiddle their thumbs and say, I wonder when it's going to hit. They were there, near as we can tell, for about 10 days, praying, waiting, seeking the Lord. Prayer is important. It is the lifeblood of a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I just want to invite you, if you have not been baptized in water, talk to me. Let's get this taken care of. If you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit that you know of in this way, we can pray for that. And you can ask for that. It's real. It still happens today. There are some who believe it doesn't. I can only speak from what I've seen and what I've read in Scripture and what I've seen seem to bear together that it does happen. And I want to invite you to consider that. And if the Lord is calling you, don't ignore it. Trust him. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time that we are living in. We thank you that we don't have to be afraid. That we have the opportunity to be salt and light everywhere that we go, and that we don't have this unfunded mandate from you to share the gospel. This unempowered commission, but that by your Holy Spirit, we can receive power from on high to go out into the world and to be obedient to what you've called us to do and how you've called us to live. We recognize, Lord, that the times are changing quickly and that we won't be able to be the incognito church we were never called to be anyways, Lord. Lord, we pray that not only our lives, but that this church would be marked in the community by repentance and empowerment. Lord, I pray for every person here, every person who is listening or who will connect with this later this week, that if you are speaking to their hearts right now, that they would answer. Lord, for those that have not been baptized in water, we ask, God, that you would call them and draw them and that they would respond to this and profess their faith in Jesus Christ and stand and say, I'm not going to be incognito with my faith anymore. This is what I believe, and this is in whom I have placed my trust. Lord, for those who have a call that there is more, for those that have been struggling to live out the Christian life and have a sense that they're being asked to step into something else, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit, that they would receive this power from on high, this dynamite power, that as they live their life, as they go about their daily life and work, that they would have boldness to share the gospel. They would be able to walk in the gifts that you have given to them, that folks would be called to repentance, belief in the gospel, that lives would be transformed, and that we would become disciples, making disciples, making disciples. We pray, Lord, that we would live lives aware of, open to, filled with, and guided by your Holy Spirit. We pray that our lives would look very different from the story of the world around us. Lord, for this church, for all those that call this their church home, I pray, God, that you would instill a hunger in each one to read your word. I pray that you would instill hunger in each one to pray, to have relationship with you, Lord, that not another day would go by without change in our lives that draws us closer to you, that we would change from having a casual understanding or a casual interest in the Bible to a hunger that drives us deeper into your word and into relationship with you. Because it is only with you in these days that are coming that we will be able to walk and pass through the waters that are ahead, God. We love you and we trust you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.